Hello and welcome to 97.5 The Brodeo. I don't really like that. I don't like that.
You don't like it?
Nah. It sounds too cheesy.
You just said it the wrong way is all.
Really? How should I say it?
97.5 The Brodeo.
Okay. That's better. Okay. If I ever called that again, you do it. Okay. Not me. I'm too white for that.
All right.
You're pretty white. Dude,
the Brodeo like, is not a white term.
Get a little Wolfman in there.
Brodeo, dude. also, Games for Windows, the official magazine podcast. That's what we are. GFW Radio. But enough about us. It's November 20th, 2007. It's almost Thanksgiving. It's our last podcast before the big turkey break. And we have stuff to talk about. And this is Jeff Green, and I'm here with the following fellows.
Sean Malloy.
Ryan Scott.
Robert Ashley.
Max Sean Elliott. And I got another call to make real quick here.
You should take care of this stuff before we get on air, Sean.
Hey, we're calling EB Games. Mark speaking. How can I help you?
Hi, is this EB Games?
Excuse me?
Is this EB Games?
Yeah, EB Games, yeah.
Okay. I want to drop my grandson off today in the store. I mean, tomorrow in the store. And I wanted to know if you have any saltines or anything for that he could snack on when he's there.
Nope. No food.
I'll bring him a sandwich. Is all right.
Sure.
Well, he has an audio CD from Sakaguchi. It's a fantasy soundtrack. Can he play that in the store?
As long as he's
not
loud.
No, I mean, can you play it for him? It keeps him from cutting up.
No, I can't play it for him.
Well, what time?
I gotta get going now, okay?
Wait. What time can he?
Bye.
Oh, God.
That didn't go so well.
Oh.
I didn't get to half my planned jokes.
He didn't even ask you if you would bring in your trade-ins or pre-order something.
I did.
He's
that.
Fired.
I did something like that before, and the guy was immediately panicking as soon as I was like talking about bringing my kid there.
He didn't ask if you wanted to subscribe to Game Informer either.
Yeah, he didn't. Or ask me if like or remind
Call his
me
manager
that it's the place I can go to trade in my used games.
No,
what
no,
if you were
no
like
wonder
a district
your ratio
manager
is the lowest in the district,
uh-huh,
sir.
Yeah. What if you were his boss? He would totally get yelled at now. When I called to do a check on you, you didn't offer me a subscription. You know, I heard that
he didn't even say like "Welcome to EB Games, pre-order Assassin's Creed, blah blah blah." You know, they talk like they're
this
an
guy's so
service
fired. Yeah. Tell us which EB it was, so this guy gets fired. No, don't do that.
Sorry.
No, I heard a story. I can't remember if I knew the person or if this was like one of those urban legend things that got past me. But I think I knew a person who was an employee at Disneyland. No, this is true. I'm not making this up. They were employee. They were an employee at Disneyland, and they sold popcorn out near Frontierland, and they were selling the popcorn. And a person came up to them and asked for a bag of popcorn. And the dude poured the popcorn, and then the person like went into their wallet and said like, "Oh man, I don't have any money. I thought I had some money." And the guy's like, "Well, I can't give you the popcorn." And then he's like, "Come on, man, it's like one bag of popcorn. I mean, who's gonna know? Whatever. I'm sorry. I'm out of money and I'm hungry." And the guy gave him the popcorn, and then 15 minutes later, dudes come over and fire him and like take him out.
It was a set.
Not take him out. They didn't kill him.
Oh, it was like a secret shopper to make sure he wasn't giving away free fucking
exactly
popcorn.
Yeah.
Because
Walt Disney was going to really lose out from that 2 cents worth of popcorn.
When you, the sad thing about working, the more pissant the job is you work at, the more everyone else in there wants to remind you how pissant it is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that like if there's like an assistant manager or something, which means he makes maybe like 2 pesos more than you a week, and he'll lord it over you and just make your life as miserable as possible. And then the person above him does the same. And you're at some point, you're like, dude, we're all here. I'm selling popcorn at the fucking theme park. And you're watching me sell popcorn at the theme park. But instead of being like, dude, we got to quit selling popcorn at the steam park. Uh-huh. Then you're like,
right.
I'm going to find a way to get you fired.
This is how the man keeps us down.
They should all rise up. Other.
That's right. Divide and conquer,
they
man.
They need to unionize.
Both the popcorn seller and the guy, you know, spying on the popcorn guy, they need to just march to the manager's office and, like, kick his ass. Take over.
97.5, the revolution.
Yeah, at the movie theater I used to work at, we used to live in fear of the theater checkers. Because there would be, you know, plainclothes people, you never know, and then you'd get a report later saying, Sean, you didn't upsell to a large. You didn't even try, did you?
Exactly, yeah. Upsell to a large?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you're
what,
supposed
you
to
sure
add,
you
want
a large?
Wants a medium, you say, are you sure you don't want a large? And if they don't have a drink, you ask them, would you like a drink with them?
I hate
and,
when people you know, do that to me.
There's always another
yeah,
level.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's why I ordered a medium.
I think they tone that down now after Supersize Me because that got probably kind of a bad rep. I feel like that doesn't happen to me much anymore.
Not aggressive salesmanship, though, and up like because even – well, EB, that's when you call EB and they're trying to tell you about pre-orders and
yeah,
the magazine
yeah.
and stuff. And then like, you know –
sure you don't want the strategy guide with that?
Back when I worked at Musicland, we would always have, you know, like the discount card – like yeah. a member card we would always have to offer to everybody every time. And then we would have to ask people if, you know, do you want to pre-order this, this, and this?
You know, didn't you feel like a jackass
saying
that?
And then if they paid with a credit card, we always had to put like the little flyer in front of them and go like, oh, I see you're paying with a credit card. Would you like 2 free weeks of Entertainment Weekly?
Would you like to save 10% on this purchase and then you have to get a credit card for every single place? Like, why do you need a Jamba Juice credit card or like a 7-Eleven like Slurpee card?
Yeah. But, and then when they give you that attitude too, like, no, I'm just gonna use my cash. Okay.
But they
you don't
want
to use your Jamba Juice card. Okay.
Right.
They're really on your ass about doing that if you work at those places. Because I actually worked at Funko Land in college, which turned into
GameStop,
right. And now EB Games or whatever.
GameStop.
Yeah. And my manager was a total freak about that stuff, and I just refused to try to sell people Game Informer or whatever they were trying to get me to
Did
sell.
Did they make you wear lots of flair, too?
No. But I actually had to go work with the district manager who was, like, the best salesman in Texas, and she would just flat-out lie to people about anything.
That's
it was
awesome.
Like, you need this cleaning kit when you buy a brand-new game to get the wax off of the contact strips in the cartridge. She would tell people that.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway,
so didn't you have a quota you had to meet every week?
Yeah, I never did.
At Safeway,
what happened? Were you fired?
No, it was the suburbs. They couldn't get anybody else to do that job. Job was ridiculous.
When I worked at Safeway, it was the same principle where the rule at the time was every time you make eye contact with someone, you need to greet them, ask them if they're finding everything okay, and then if they say that they're, oh, I'm looking for this. And which the problem is that when you stop, most people like us, they don't want to talk to you. But the other is like, oh, someone's talking to me. I better think of some good answer. What am I looking for? And then they make something up. And then the next rule is that you have to go and take them to it, physically touch the item, and then recommend a complimentary purchase. So the example in the training video was that someone was asking for hot
training
dog buns.
Video.
And the guy's like, you know, like, oh, ma'am, did you have pickles with that? And then it was known in the store as giving the customer the pickle. Now, this is okay. So this was like intensely infuriating when you're stocking the shelves. You know, this was like a long time ago when I first started working in grocery stores, and you're trying to get to the other end of the store, right? And then you stop someone because every time you pass someone, you're supposed to make eye contact and say hi, and it's this infinite regress. Like, my end goal is to go put this case of beer over in the beer aisle, right? But someone asked me where something about the produce, and then you go back over to the other end of the store, touch it and do it, and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna go back to my cart and do it, but nope, there's someone else, and I smiled, I gotta do it again. So
wait, would you touch their produce?
You just touch something, touch it, and then so meanwhile there's the mirrors up in the top, and I know where the management booth is, and you're always looking up there like, is that guy Billy Compton was the manager? And this is why I want to tell a story ultimately about Billy Compton. And he that old Billy Compton would look down through there, and you'd see him looking at you, and you'd be like, dude. It's
wait,
like totally Orwellian. It was like the Panopticon.
He would be sitting there watching you guys.
Watching us to make
sure. He's like sitting in the back room of the market.
Yeah,
watching
in the upstairs, looking down across the store.
Yes.
Yeah, through the two-way mirrors to make sure everyone is doing this.
That's some satisfying work.
And we had secret shoppers come in at least once a week, you know, and that they would evaluate this. But then we had these things called huddles. And I don't want this to seem racist. This is the best that I can impersonate this guy. And he did speak this way. But so he would have these huddles. It was his idea. So all of a sudden, we're working on the intercom. We hear, attention Safeway employees, huddle up. Time to huddle up. Let's huddle up. So we'd have to run to the back room. We'd run to the back room, and he'd like you know, closer, and we'd all get in this, like, you know, circle, like it's a huddle, a football game. And then he would start saying, like, okay, it's summertime. What's going to sell? What's going to sell? Coke, Pepe, Frito-Lay. They'll pay us money. And then, like, we're sitting there, you know, we're just trying to get the shit stocked on the shelves, and this guy's telling you this, and you're like, this is fucked up, right? And then he was so condescending that there's this kid, Eli, who's this bagger. He's a total shit for brains. And he looks and he's telling him, he's like, who here want to tell me about gain sharing? Gain sharing. And gain sharing was that if we got enough secret shopper reports that were just like glowing in their report, at the end of the year, we'd get like an extra 5 cents tacked on to every $200 we earned.
Ooh.
Or something like this. And then so he would break it down and remind us that we stood to gain another, what, $3 at the end of the year. And then he looks around and he's like, tell me what it means. And then he goes, even Eli knows what that means. More money, more money, more money, more money. And Eli's all looking like, yeah, I know what it means.
Did he know what it means, or was he just
mad? I don't know. I have no idea.
Huh?
But it was just rad because, like, it's bad enough to have to talk to someone and do all that, but then when that's in the background, you know, you can be, like, called to the huddle at any moment.
You got to think that there's somebody, you know, at the corporate headquarters of any large entity who sits in a room thinking about, like, you know, whether there's any more dignity
that they can trade
for some small profit on the level of their, like, store
employees.
Our employees
still have a modicum of happiness and dignity left.
You know,
what can we do to destroy that?
Barbara Ehrenreich does some interesting books, and then Nickel and Dime, she does make a point where the research phase of writing this book, she spent a year trying to make a living on minimum wage jobs throughout the country and all different types of work. So, you know, cleaning, turning over hotel rooms and stuff. But one phase was at Walmart. And at both Walmart and Target, she pointed out that during the interviewing process, you fill out these questionnaires, which are really psychological profiles. And it's all information that the employer really wouldn't need, you know, stuff that you really wouldn't need. But she was convinced that the questions are put together in such a way that the person taking the exam, everyone knows. It's like, it's just, Jeff.
Sorry.
So you look at him, and everyone knows there's only one right way to answer it. If I want this job, this is the correct answer.
Right.
And her case is that Walmart and Target know this way too. And the point is not that, like, oh, how can we make this cheat-proof and how can we get people to be honest? But it's a lesson in advance of, like, this is who you need to be for us. And you already need to start, in addition to the drug screening and stuff, this is where we start stripping your dignity by telling you exactly how you have to answer every little thing along the way. But I don't know. I thought that was interesting. And, hey, I've worked in a lot of jobs like that, and I agree with it. They're pretty damn not so much.
How'd we get on this? Oh, because you were calling the guy DB.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right. To that, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't really.
Though I've had games strip me of my dignity as well.
Nice segue.
Speaking of which.
We don't get much of the dignity stripping here at Ziff, do we?
No, you do it all yourselves.
We strip our own dignity.
Before we begin, don't pass up the opportunity to follow up on Robert's opening there. Before we started recording, you were just telling us that you had been having more sex with women in The Witcher.
Oh, me?
So stripping dignity games. There you go.
That's not stripping dignity.
No, that was increasing my dignity.
Okay.
And my manliness quotient. Yeah, I've slept with, since our last podcast, I've slept with two more women. I actually tried to sleep with a third one because she told me to meet her at the, like, old windmill. Mm-hmm. Like the after sunset.
Oh, that's rad. You have to actually go through some extra effort.
Right, but then the bitch stood me up.
Actually,
the game did strip me of my dignity.
Did anyone try to gank you?
No, that would have been good, right?
That would have been potential. So great. Yeah, condition you in the same way, like Condemned or something. It teaches you, hey, open every locker you see because you get ammo. Then, like, an hour in, you open one and a boogeyman pops out, right? So this would be like,
that would have been fantastic.
Just keep tapping these betties, and then all of a sudden one of them sets you up, and then the guys beat the shit out of you.
That would have been great.
Take half of your belongings.
Yeah, what you here for, boner boy? Yeah. And then they just, like, beat the shit out of me. That would have been great.
They just totally cock block you. Was it a glitch or what?
I don't know what happened. Yeah, but needless to say, I was a little frustrated.
Was she even there, or was she just there to give you a quest or something?
She was.
Oh, she was there to give you a quest.
She was the quest.
Yeah. She was my quest. No, I like did something for. I did like a quest with her, and then she's like, "I like you, Witcher. You know, come meet me tomorrow. Uh-huh. You in?" And like, you had the choice. I was like, yes or no. And I said yes. So then it like, you know, I'm doing other quests, and then you know, in the game, the sun sets, and I'm like, woohoo, it's time, man. So I hustle across the map to the windmill, and I'm standing around like some fucking dipshit junior high kid waiting for his date who doesn't show
Maybe
up. And I'm like,
oh,
man. Yeah, and I'm sitting there with the clock, the game clock spinning. It's like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I could be doing other things in the game. I'm like, I guess she's not going to show.
I need to do this real quick since it's just a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Back in that same Safeway, and you're going to see the connection. No, this has everything to do with you and
okay.
The Witcher.
Right.
In that same Safeway, there was a guy who would clean the meat department at the end of the night. He would come in and he'd clean the meat department.
I don't know where this
And I would always talk to this dude, and I went back there one night, and I was like, hey, did... Someone was just asking for you. You know, this woman was just asking about you. And he was immediately getting all excited and lit up. And so I proceeded to describe her. And basically what I was doing was describing the Kool-Aid man, but without saying it was the Kool-Aid man.
So you I'm mean going, like the guy with the...
I was like, she was wearing... So I started off, you know, she was wearing a red dress. And she was really, like, curvy, you know? She was really curvy. And so I just...
Oh, yeah.
And then he would go describing... I mean, he'd ask for more information, and I'd provide it. And it would just... She kept getting bigger and bigger. So I said, well, she was asking all about you. And so that was the setup. Then I went to this girl that I knew who was one of the cashiers, and I told her, hey, here's the extension for the meat department. You got to call right now and just say, you know. So she calls him, and she's like, hey, I was, you know, just doing a little shopping, and I saw you back there, and I want to know. And this guy had kids, you know, he had a wife and kids, and she's like, I want to come in tonight and meet you. Can you stay there till like, you know, midnight? And he normally gets out of there at 10 or something. And so sure enough, all night I kept going back. He's back there whistling and shit. Like, he's all like mopping the meat department floor, like whistling all kinds of songs and crap, dude. He was all bummed out.
Oh, that's mean.
That's sad.
So yeah, anyway, there you go. That's the
probably
that's you and the
it
Witcher.
Was the first prospect.
You are him, Jeff.
Yeah, I was him. I was that
You're
guy.
You're cleaning the meat department.
So other than that, though, it's still a great game, I got to say. Loving The Witcher. Highly recommend it. If you're an RPG fan. If you're not, I don't know if this one's going to convince you that this is the one you should play. But
is there anything about it that feels particularly like foreign in an interesting way? I mean, do you play it and you're like, there's something odd about this that feels like it's, you know, not from where I'm used to playing games, you know?
I mean, because of the fact because that Eastern from, Europeans make
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, yeah. Like the game Stalker, right, has this like really strange vibe to it that
well,
you would never see in an American
yeah,
game.
Yeah, there is a bit of an odd vibe. And I would say that the dialogue is actually a little more adult. And, you know, there is some, like, cheesy fantasy, you know, stuff that all these games have that you can either buy into or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've made fun of the having sex thing here on this podcast before, even though I've actually now done it 3 times in the game. But there's nothing
wrong about it. If you spend this whole game killing orcs and shit, and it's called role playing, mm-hmm. If it's going to be any kind of life, it's got to have sex in it.
But
that's the fact.
That's how I feel as The Witcher. Yeah, I'm feeling like I've earned this. You know, I've been killing monsters all day. Goddamn right, I'm ready.
They'll blow off a little steam.
Yeah, pour me a beer and, you know.
No, but it's not.
Sit yourself down there, little lady.
Make fun of it, but it's like, it's cool. To, just like we were saying, the potential there to mess with you. I mean, like even having you get ganked. I mean, that would have been incredible.
No, but
even the fact that she stood you up is rad.
There's, well, that might have been a glitch. Or maybe I didn't read the quest text right. Maybe she said get there before 5 and I got there after 5. I don't know.
Maybe you stood her up.
Maybe I went to the wrong place.
Yeah.
It wasn't like marked on the
her.
Mini map.
Spend the rest of your time playing and find her and figure it out. See if she's upset.
And then gank her. Yeah. Where the hell were you? I brought protection and everything. So, I mean, but I think that part of it, even though you can kind of make fun of it and it is a little bit cheesy, the fact that it does exist in the game, I think, is a not kind of non-American thing, don't you think? I mean,
yeah,
just even
yeah,
that
absolutely.
That's.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm always attracted to that sort of strangeness in a game, I guess, because so many games do share so many similar things. And when there's in an RPG, I'm not an RPG player, and the thing that drives me crazy about RPGs is always the combat. It's always the things around that, like getting laid by milkmaids or doing some other ridiculous thing that makes me want to play it. Like when someone's telling me about Oblivion and some ridiculous thing they did, even though I can't stand that game, I'm like, well, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I actually like the combat in this game, too.
Yeah,
I think if you didn't like it in Oblivion, you actually might like it in
really?
The Witcher. Yep.
I'm with you on that 100%, though. It's like...
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy VII, I remember playing that, and it's like the cool part was exploiting that, like, if you're at a certain place in a certain time, something specific happens, you know, such as the Ferris wheel ride with the characters, and depending on who you go on, asked to go on the ride. I mean, things like that. But as the combat gets boring, and the games are very clearly made to be far to last far longer than they should, in my mind, you know, I mean, you could easily condense any given RPG. And it's like, yeah, I'm with you. It's like those little moments that are – that's where the genre has the potential. You know?
I've also experienced a few moments in this game now where, like, where the actual gaming part, the quest part, and even the dialogue part has really kind of challenged me in some way, which it never really does. Like, you'll get four options in how to respond to a guy, you know, yeah, I want to do this or no or whatever. I've seen BioWare do this a couple times. Remember there was a trial, wasn't it, in Knights of the Old Republic or KOTOR 2? Am I going to be alone in this? No one's going to remember. There was something where you had to see it through and then make the call.
Right. It was that whole mystery solving thing. I know what you're talking about, right?
Right. Where you really could. It wasn't just – the choices weren't like, you know, A1, A2, A3, where basically it was all variations on the same thing. It was a clear cut, I'm going to be for this guy or I'm going to be for this other guy.
Right.
And The Witcher's done that a few times where they really kind of, like, where I had to go, oh, shit, I know this is totally going to change the way this plays out, depending on which way I do it.
This is all why the new Fallout game looks so interesting to me. You know, of course, they brought it in. It was the first time I got to see it. Mm-hmm. You talked about the demonstrations before. Robert, have you seen?
I've only read about it. I haven't seen it.
I've seen it.
And it is very much like that. You know, I was also just talking about shorter and condensing the story. But so what it is instead of like, let's have these sections where we just suddenly put you up against a brick wall boss and tell that more or less tells you to go back into the wilds and grind for a while and come back and overpower him. It's shorter, but every choice is supposed to have some consequence and is at least a binary choice, you know, where I mean, because some of the choices you're talking about, Jeff, are like absolutely false. You know, when you say A1, A2, A3, whatever, they basically all lead to the same result.
Right.
And you can just have like
exactly.
a snarky way to get there or a subservient way to get there.
Whatever. Right. I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll help you. Well, I don't really want to, but I'll do it for 10 gold. Or, no way, I'm not going to do that. Well, okay.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're all basically just saying yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is opposed to like, you know, deciding to detonate the atom bomb at the heart of a town. Wipe it off the map so that rather it still exists as like an irradiated wasteland within a greater irradiated wasteland that is right. the world of Fallout, or to let it be and to continue and to do things and interact in there.
Which Fallout 1 and 2 did back in their day too as well.
Right.
You were definitely making clear-cut choices in how you wanted to influence the world. And The Witcher, you know, is doing that too. I mean, I don't want to do any spoilers, which is why I'm just doing it vaguely, but you get to one section after you've done a whole bunch of the main quests where it's clearly a kind of a no turning back moment. Like, you got to really decide how you want the rest of the game to play out. And to me, that was another kind of adult thing that you don't often see in games over here. I felt like, and even just the whole leveling up and the character, you know, the character choices you can make, it's fairly complex relatively for an RPG in 2007, you know, and all that felt very European in a, like, we did not focus test this thing for 8 million years with morons that we picked out of GameSpot, GameStop, you know. It felt like it feels like an adult game. Why are you making that face at me, Sean? Because I'm insulting our readers.
The way things are going nowadays, everyone's going to take issue with everything we say. So as long as you clarify that you really mean GameStop.
Right.
GameStop, we all agree on, is a disgusting piece
right. of shit. I don't mean the fantastic website GameSpot.
Yeah, we mean the store.
Right.
And they're not affiliated.
Right.
You know, Crysis is also, you know, of course, developed in Germany. It's kind of international, but it's also large parts of the game have that same vibe, you know, where they're not going to hold your hand every step of the way. It's clear that they I mean, it definitely has that vibe to it. You know, this is something that they're willing to try. And then you look at it in opposition to something like, you know, Gears of War, Area 51, which I want to talk about later. But that's the kind of game where you're saying where not only they focus tested so much and they're so concerned about everyone getting it in precisely the way that they want them to get it, so that there's audio cues, someone's yelling at you in the game world what to do. Text appears on the screen saying, in other words, here's what we want you to do. And then on top of that, there's a big flashing arrow and a big flashing thing, you know, and all three of those together, it does take away from it. You're like, oh, there's no experimenting with the limits of the game world and the system.
I think it actually comes down to the fact that in Europe and in Poland, when I went to visit and see The Witcher, they never had console gaming as any sort of popular pastime there. Like PC gaming was it. Like console games have made inroads in modern times, in Germany at least. But when I was over in Warsaw seeing The Witcher, like, people just don't play console games there, you know?
What's your point? You're saying console games are, like, dumber?
No, but I think that the mass market for games there is different because they've only ever played hardcore PC games. And to them, like, something like Baldur's Gate is totally, like, normal. That's normal.
It's an excellent insight. Yeah, right. And again, for shooters, it's like it means they were playing System Shock and Deus Ex and Thief and stuff, not Medal of Honor. Well, Medal of Honor, yeah, but, like, not every... You know, the big, huge tradition of console shooters that are...
Well, I think we certainly could probably spend the next few hours talking about the mainstreaming of gaming equaling the dumbing down of lots of games.
Yeah, but not all games.
Right. Not all games,
no. The PC thing is there. Look at PC RPGs and compare them to a lot of the, you know, the traditionally... And I don't... Nowadays, those are different because BioWare is producing, you know, its RPGs for consoles and stuff. But once upon a time, when your choices were Japanese RPGs, and if you compare them to PC RPGs, they're very different mindset. And then we're saying the Euro stuff is clearly, you know, part of the lineage of the PC RPGs.
Mm-hmm. Nerd.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, I have a really squeaky chair.
Yeah, is that you?
Yeah, it's
Fatty
me.
Creaks, man. You got to be careful with those. Whenever you're in, say when you're playing games with people online and someone's in TeamSpeak, you don't want your chair to squeak because everyone's like, whoa, dude. Did you hear how deep that squeak was? How much ass you got sitting in that chair?
Oh.
So, Ryan, I want to turn the attention to you for a minute.
Huh?
Because you've been sitting quiet. Are you even listening?
Huh?
He's been yawning.
Are you like in WoW in your head?
I just woke up.
Are you playing WoW in your head still? Right now, this minute?
Yes.
Are you somewhere?
What are you doing in WoW right now? Like in your head?
Questing.
Isn't that all you ever do in WoW?
Pretty much.
Yeah. You've been on a big WoW kick again.
I've been playing a lot of WoW. Yeah. This last patch, they put in an experience bump.
Oh,
like
they finally made that happen.
More experience for quests. Now, because they're trying to hustle people to those in-game levels.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like when they add like extra potency to the crack to try to bring more in or bring more cash in?
We don't know about that here, Robert.
No? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do.
Are you kidding?
Well,
how do you think we make money around here? Game magazines? Come on.
Well, Blizzard has said, you know, more than once that the original game's content is kind of like obsolete now with the expansion out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this experience bump is like, it's there to just kind of get people to that as quickly as possible.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they just want to get you out of the area that everybody's done to death now.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so I think my dude was level 49 before the weekend. Now he's 55.
But here's my concern with you. You're all wrapped up in this game now, and there's like 800 new PC games, and you're like, are you not playing those?
Huh?
I'm asking this. As
I played Sam and Max.
I mean, no, Jeff.
I know, you already said that last week.
Oh.
Every week this is going to be a why did I hire Ryan talk.
Dang.
On the podcast.
Man, guys are going to have to outlaw
WoW. You know what?
I blame you.
WoW doesn't even count as like, because it's like everyone's list of now playing, you know? I mean, what it's
not yours?
It's so ubiquitous that it's like not even... It's still
part of a list anymore.
It's still awesome.
Well, I'm going to be, after this podcast, we're a few of us here are doing Legendary Thread, and I'm going to be completely outed once again as not having played this game.
Warcraft poser.
But I got to say that, like, these MMOs, you know, not only are they just time sinks in general for, like, everything else you would want to do with your life that's not gaming, but they're just a complete sink as far as or they're just a complete block as far as playing anything else. Like, it's been very liberating for me for the past few weeks to not play WoW because it's like, oh, wow, there's other games out there. I forgot. You know, it's a real problem with MMOs, I think, because if there's games out there that, like, I'm playing for work that aren't particularly great, I'm actually resenting them because they're not WoW. I'm thinking, like, I could be leveling up. I could be, you know, getting through this next zone in Outland right now. So I'm sort of resenting that I'm not doing WoW. But now that there's actually great games out that I can play, I'm relieved that I'm not getting that feeling while I'm playing them. I'm playing The Witcher and actually able to enjoy The Witcher. In fact, that marred my entire experience of Oblivion, which I acknowledge was great. But the whole time I was playing Oblivion, I felt like I was playing single-player WoW, and it was making me miss WoW.
You kind of play WoW single-player anyway, though.
Yeah.
You don't really group up. You admitted that before.
That's how I am.
I don't know.
That's because I don't like people.
I've been able to play a bunch of the new people. I consider myself still way into WoW.
Yeah.
Like, I'm raiding and stuff and doing all the endgame content. And they think they designed it well enough that you don't have to sink your life into it. Because I'm doing it maybe twice or three times a week. But I'm still playing. I still got to play Tabula Rasa. I've still been playing Hellgate. I played that Armageddon Empires game.
Jeez.
But isn't it frustrating?
I've been playing console games even, because it's, you know.
So how are you able to? What are you getting all that time? And what is that horrible sound?
I know. You're looking around trying to figure out what's making that sound.
Everybody stop.
I hear people talking.
I think it's office ambience.
Yeah, okay.
Damn them.
But isn't it ever frustrating to play games like that, these big open-ended games where you just go in and you play a little bit? Like, and you get just a taste of it, and it never ends. Like, you never get any sort of, I don't know.
It's about the journey, Robert. It's about the journey. It's not about the ending.
Nah, I'd rather have, like, I'd rather play, like, a five-hour-long game with an ending.
Well, the reason I'm playing WoW is very different from the reason I would be playing, like, Mass Effect, because I'm going to be playing that for sure. It's just, like, there's these kind of collaborative community. We hear this sounding
there. It is again.
It sounds breathy.
Yeah, there's like a ghost in here.
Ryan, you were just messing with your headset.
Oh, that was it. Do it
that
again.
That was it.
No.
Whoa. That's freaky.
I don't hear it.
The haunted podcast room. Yeah.
The hell was I talking about? Ghosts. Wow.
We are recording this sober, by the way. It may not have sounded like it that last minute. Dude, do you hear that? I swear there's someone in here with us.
Well, anyway, there are a few games I plan on checking out in the near future.
Such as?
SimCity Societies.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not a PC game, but I'm eager to jump into Super Mario Galaxy.
Okay.
Those are the two big ones. Yes. On my list right now.
Did SimCity Society, is it out now?
Yep.
Tis.
Damn it. EA, send us some copies, goddammit.
I got my copy.
Oh, yeah, great. Way to hoard it. So you have it and you're not playing it.
I'm planning on it.
I'm writing this dude up.
Robert played it?
It won't work on my PC. It crashes it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Get a new PC?
Yeah, just give it to me.
Okay.
Give me that PC.
Yeah, sure.
I get shit for going off a long time, but I also happen to play games, so.
I'm playing games. I play games, except I haven't played many PC games. I'm nearly done with Mario Galaxies.
Really?
Or Mario Galaxy. There aren't multiple galaxies. Although there are multiple galaxies in the game.
Oh, that is the irony. I got to get a Wii.
And actually, last night I played Rock Band with my friends for about 4 hours. And that was fucking amazing.
What instrument were you playing?
We were cycling through everything. Yeah.
Rotation.
That's interesting that you played that with friends, because one concern I had was that seeing how all the coverage for this game is coming out of, you know, groups of people who write about games, Yeah. I don't use the, this is the pause right there was me not wanting to say games journalist because I don't really believe there's such a thing. Although
it's
I think
professional
now and then,
enthusiast.
It's professional enthusiast. Yeah. So and what we do is professional enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So, but among these groups, you have these ready built, you know, like bands, you know, like, oh, there's at least four people who are going to want to get, and you can get together because you can playing games in your days, you know, it's part of the natural work day and you could do it. And I was wondering like, you know, me, there's no way if I bought that, all that Fisher Price shit, I'm ever going to assemble a full on jamboree at my house.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Cause no one likes you.
Well, no, if people come over, we're not going to be playing. I don't know. No, let's come over and play. You can.
Yeah,
you tend to do. I don't know. You're more of a host, but I don't know. I was just wondering
I think
how
my place ends up being the hub for a lot of socialization in general.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's like a good game for that. I also have friends who are pretty into music games, like who are really excited to play that game. And I'm married and my wife played. So we actually had five people and it was way cooler than
I thought. Wow, so you were in your band was in your wife with you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
We actually used to be in bands together when we were younger, like
really?
Real bands. Yeah.
What does she play?
She plays drums and guitar.
Nice, female drummer. Is she hot?
I am legally qualified to say yes. Mega hot. Mega, mega hot.
You didn't have someone singing, did you? That's the one instrument.
Yeah,
that
no,
would
we had
plug.
Singing. It was fun. Like but I love karaoke. Like, yeah.
How does the game judge the singing in Rock Band?
It uses that same karaoke revolution pitch detection.
So it's just a pitch.
You can just go.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't have to be singing any words.
You don't have to be. And we just kept just kept the vocal. No, I think the thing is about this game is I don't think that it's meant to be played for points at all. Like Rock Band is like the opposite of Guitar
Party
Hero.
Game.
Guitar Hero is like very video gamey, very like get the high score. Rock Band's about having a virtual musical experience, you know. And so we just kept the vocals on, you know, on easy the whole time, so we'd never, you know, be downgraded for somebody having fun with it.
Because it's not like it changes what you sing. Could you play this by yourself if you don't have any
You
friends?
Can, but you would legally.
There's a bum in San Francisco who can. The guy who's got like the tambourine on his ankle and the harmonica and the accordion. All
Which one?
the one with the tambourine on his ankle,
band
the accordion.
Are you talking about? I've seen a lot.
Yeah,
but no, you could play it by yourself. I think only the drums would be fun by themselves. The drums in and of themselves are really interesting. Everything else, I think, is more fun to play as a group. Mm-hmm. But I think the other cool thing about it is that they changed the hardware of the guitars, and it's much more physical. So like the actual parts, note wise, are easier to play. So they're less crazy if you're not that great at it. But at the same time, they've made it feel much more like actually playing guitar by making the strum bar have more give to it, to where you really have to jam up and down. I don't know. It's really well done. I actually think it's not a video game. I think it's like an example of the kind of thing that can come out of video games that will be, you know, related. But here in like 15 years, you know, there will be stuff like that no one will think of as video games. It's just.
Got my bundle waiting at home.
Really?
I think it's a video game.
Aren't they really all just like, I mean, the drums is clearly, obviously, about getting the rhythm, right?
Yeah,
but
sure.
Aren't they really all rhythm-based, all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we are talking about rock music here, which is pretty much 90% rhythm. But you can sing in the game, and that's definitely about melody and pitch. And people last night were doing ridiculous shit. You know, we would sing songs, and everyone that I had over, though, was into singing songs. And so we would do songs in different voices, you know, singing, like, Maps by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Johnny Cash voice, you know, or, like, doing ridiculous stuff like that or adding your own parts to it, you know.
Hey, but, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you turn the foot pedal off on the drum?
No. I mean, even on the easiest one, you have to use the foot pedal like sparsely, but you want to use the foot pedal because over time you get the coordination that you need to actually like play the drums.
Probably more than any other instrument, that one actually probably would require a little bit of skill, or maybe would actually teach you something. Is that
fair to
say?
I think that one's probably the closest to the real instrument.
It's very, very close. The only thing missing is a hi-hat pedal. I mean, when you're playing the expert, I'm a drummer, so I play all the songs on expert, and the parts are the same thing as the drums. I mean, except you're not really getting the same feedback feel from hitting a drum, and there's a lot to like finesse when you play the drums. It's not just bashing on trash cans. But
so when this first came up, Sean referred to them as Fisher Price toys. As a drummer, do you feel that way?
No, I mean, I think the drums are very obviously like a low-level electronic drum set that you might buy at, like, Guitar Center, you know?
And but but on which you can only play along with songs that the drum kit is playing with you. So if this were a Fisher-Price thing, you press a button and the lights turn on each of the drum heads in a given order, and it can only play songs. You know, I mean, it's like there's no
there are actually open parts in the song. Yeah, there is. There are moments where if you get a sequence of notes right, you get to make your own fills. So you'll get this whole line where you make up your own fill in the song,
and you get points for that.
Yeah, it's like the version of rocking out or whatever they called it in Guitar Hero.
And does it score you? It scores you based on that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I mean the only score thing you get is if you hit the cymbal at the end of your roll. So I mean, everyone else who was playing, it was really funny because it would just be like it would sound normal, and then all of a sudden they'd get to the part to where they could do the roll, and they weren't, you know, drummers, so they'd just like go free jazz crazy. For 5 seconds, it's just like, and then go back to the song, you know. But it was, I don't know, it was really fun, and it felt like, I don't know, it felt not unlike, you know, getting together with some friends in a garage and playing music. There was something musical about it, and it was fun to watch other people play in a way that it might be fun to watch other people play
music. I don't think I can bring this into my house. Really? I would totally play this if I was a bachelor, but I think this is going to be – if I brought that shit home, it would be like the times I've brought like a steering wheel home or something for the PC where I'm hooking it up and my wife's just looking at me like, are you fucking kidding me?
Your daughter wouldn't want to play it? Her and her friends come over and play it?
That's sad.
You know, I don't know. I think that
maybe the, I don't know.
I think that it actually gets the ladies interested. Not in that sense, but wanting to actually play. I mean, I've had lots of parties where I've had people over to play games who don't play games ever, and they love to play Guitar Hero. Everybody.
Yeah, I have a Guitar
That's
Hero
true.
In my house.
That's very true. iToy worked that way as well.
iToy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sean, do you want to talk about PC games here at the GFW Radio podcast?
Nah. did you happen to play?
I was going to say, maybe we should take a break, and then, since we're already derailed off PC, and then
when we come back to PC. Sean Elliott will remind us what this podcast is about.
The long-awaited third installment of Soldier of Fortune is here. In Soldier of Fortune Payback, players will experience all the thrills and dangers of being a mercenary, blasting their way through high-intensity combat situations in the world's most dangerous hotspots. Now available on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC.
This week's Hero of the Web is named Bajingi. Okay, here's the deal. I finally got Guitar Hero 3 today, and I've played it nonstop till now. The thing is, I arranged a date with my girlfriend, and when she came by my house, I was trying the 5-star raining blood. So, here I am at my 5,635th attempt at it, and all she does is some bitching on how I'm not ready yet. Of course I pay no attention to her, and I'm focused as ever on the song, clearing the fast pull-off intro into FC. She then starts screaming at me, so I told her, would you mind shutting the fuck up? And she grabs my Les Paul and pulls it away from me, saying, you only care about the fucking game. Result. My FC on Raining Blood into the third minute of the song was ruined, and without the guitar, it was quickly a failed song. She then slams the door in my house, and she yells she's going home. What should I do? I mean, I don't want to lose her, but the bitch did ruin a magnificent run in one of the game's most insane songs.
Wow, I admire that guy.
He's manning up.
You gotta dump her. Yeah. Is he asking us for advice?
Yeah.
The choice is clear.
Yeah, seriously.
She ruined his song.
You sound like a pretty serious Guitar Hero player. What do you need ladies for?
Right.
It'll
you need to find a lady who appreciates that kind of effort.
If you get that perfect FC, you'll have all the girls you need.
That's right. And then she'll be sorry, that one who dumped you.
There were, but I didn't
I imagine I got some.
Where'd that come from? Was that on our forum?
No, that was on, I don't know, it was like IGN forums or something.
How many forums do you read?
I don't read them all. I get links from people, which is good. People submit lately. People submit what they want to become a hero of the web, and that's been pretty good. And then I have this week. I mentioned in the past that I have this fake account
of at least one fake account on one of forums. I'm going to out one of them because I want people to appreciate just how fun this guy is. So his name is Ideal Poster.
That's you?
Ideal_poster. And part of the origins of this guy is like there was this long-running tradition on 1UP of just these obscenely just pretentious posts about just dumb stuff. And the other thing is that the grammar was a mess, of course, but they were just loaded with malapropisms or like words used in the wrong context. So they were actual words, but they weren't used correctly. So we took that, and then also this tradition of like bolding random shit and italicizing it and editing your post over and over again and having a sig. I mean, that's so dumb, right? You know, someone posts on a sig on a forum, it says your name on the left, and then they sign the damn thing afterward with like a tilde, whatever. So we got all that in there. And this guy's name, some of his background is his name is Fenster Mayhew. We list his interests on his 1UP page as forums, honor, Hanzo Steel, fingerless gloves. His avatar is a picture of like this like schmuck looking white guy with a ponytail, but like holding a katana, you know, sort of across his face, like he's some sort of Bushido master. And it's also in one of those like inspirational poster things, you know, and it says like honor beneath it. And he works at Staples in the astral plane. And so I'm going to give a few examples of these are some of the earlier posts that we did to give you an idea for the character. And then I'll like tell you the one that we just did over the weekend. Because me and Rory will take turns. We both have the account information and sometimes we'll try to outdo each other with the most like ridiculous Ideal Poster post. And a few people would get it, but most people don't. Most people just
– of course they don't.
Because the forums are so – the internet's so like insane and ridiculous as it is that nothing surprises anyone anymore. You just believe that stuff is okay.
All right.
Welcome to the community, you know. So, and I always imagine the emo nerd voice for this guy. So his first post was gaming, game free, or don't. That was the thread title. And the don't is a question mark. Hello, friends and fellow travelers. I am something of a noob to these boards, this being my first post, but I hope to make a good impression on you and to make a few new comrades in the procedure. I encroach upon you today with a conundrum of meager yet vast proportions. Why is it that we as gamers have commenced to fear true freedom in this, our most beloved hobby of gaming? Is it the enormity of responsibility we so ferment against? The thought that we may one day be accountable, if not indeed accessible, for our own enjoyment? Our arms should be raised in the euthanasia of our gaming freedom. Instead, be fearful for your ability to enjoy games that aren't as free. Will we one day throw out The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, in knowing that the land of Hyrule shall always be Hyrule and not a Hyrule of my own design? And what then of Shadow of the Colossus? Ask yourself, friends, what Master Chief can be as personable and close to your own heart than a Master Chief of your own design? I am speaking, of course, of a topic which has been focused upon numerous times by the minds of thinkers such as Miyamoto-san himself, and perhaps even the likes of those such as Steven Spielberg, who has now made his commitment to gaming freedom not only known, but renowned through his game Blocks for the Nintendo brand. For the Nintendo brand Wii gaming system. They postpone and indeed demand a revolution in how we game. A gaming 2.0, not unlike the web 2.0, that enriches our lives right now, even as we surf. Okay. And then the postscript to that was, what of the much coveted Game of the Year award given out by a multitude of publications? Who and how will determine whether or not the game, or the civilian, if I may so refer to them, receives the prize? Time magazine was bold enough to confer upon me and you the Person of the Year award. And who then will be Electronic Gaming Monthly Magazine give their Game of the Year? Little Big Planets or the users who make it acclimate?
This is a topic that I perhaps cannot contemplate alone.
So, that was the kind of shit. Like, wow. We went on, and then I'll condense the rest because they're long posts. And then the next one was Bushido as Manifest Games. And again, like, again, all these words are all used in the wrong way, and that's the point.
Right. That the responses, like, to that first one you just read, people, like, believe that that was a real guy,
oh,
right?
There's a serious debate. People arguing that, like, no, there's still room for games that tell you a story, the story they want to tell. And
did anyone, like, point out that, like, every other word was used incorrectly?
No.
In that post? No.
What they always do is point out, like, you stop trying to sound so smart. You know, but I mean, because they get the sense, they're like, okay, this is annoying,
something's wrong,
but not like, okay, no, you're not using any word in any like reasonable way. So then the next one, Bushido's Manifest Games, it goes sort of like,
why don't more vaulted developers in the quote-unquote Western world take hints from the ageless wisdom passed to us from the peoples of the East? I am saying, for instance, the Code of Bushido, which could be of great help in designing games. I will demonstrate for the uninitiate. Benevolence, as seen in Pikmin, to devote oneself to the aid of others lesser in stature than oneself. Honor and glory. Who can claim honor than the one that rescues the world from certain destruction? What glory is there in firing a weapon at an enemy rather than competing in swordplay with that said enemy? Hence the Final Fantasy series.
then filial piety presents Shenmue and says, it's one's father who one seeks to avenge, one's grandmother with whom one lives, and one's society with whom he is at peace.
That's true.
So on and on that went. So the final one, what we did this weekend is there's this awesome video. And if you're listening, you should pause right now and go to YouTube and search for Dragon Quest Jokester. And it's the television commercial for that. Or you can just go to the GFW thread. We have links of it in there. And if everyone in here but Robert's seen it. And it's kind of weird because there's this kid and he's on a beach and he's trying to set a trap for a monster and he's got this like demon behind him. He's like pop locking, doing like the body wave. Like, and he's always just like right behind this kid, you know, just like a little too close to him. And then he's like, I could cast a spell. And the kid's like, pipe down something. He's, I don't think a spell's going to work on this one. There's something weird about the kid. Like he doesn't have Down syndrome or something, right? I mean, there's some speech impediment, or it could be that he was like, maybe he's trying to convey the fact that he's scared because there's this giant monster that even his spells aren't good enough to catch. So with that, knowing that that has sort of been making rounds and people have been talking about it, the post appears and it starts off with,
recently I participate in the filming of commercial for Dragon Quest Jokester. Here's a travelogue for the 1UP.com gamer boards. My co-actor and acting coach, Keith, rubbed my back with his knee whilst I prepared to deliver my line. The commercial story is that he can cast the spell, but I request him that no, his spell will not work. I tell my message to Keith, Demon Keith, that I don't think a spell's going to work on Nish One. Keith appears forlorn but anticipatory for what come next, a shadow of monster in distance. Have any of you borne witness to my commercial on TV or on YouTube?
So that got it started. People were like mad. People were upset. They're like, why are you pimping, you know, your commercial?
Honestly, I thought you were like a viral marketer.
Right. Okay, so the follow-up was like, you know,
I feel I should inform those of you not exalting my achievement that, in fact, my line was not produced as originally written, as it was first, I'm not sure a spell will work on that one, but I claimed ownership of it, likened to a true connoisseur of the acted word, and said, I don't think a spell's going to work on this one. To be honest, it was a flub to begin with, because I feared the director would call upon me to perhaps cast a true spell, or that Keith, who is a Wiccan, would curse me somehow. Through for my fear was born a line that the director called acceptable. My pay for this action was a copy of Dragon Quest Jokester and Keith's Demon Ears, which I would like to put on eBay. Can a moderator of the site please make a poll on the top describing Keith's ears and perhaps how much I should inquire for them on eBay?
Meanwhile, like every time it ends, we're signing it with like Fenster Mayhew 2007. I don't think a spell's going to work on this one. And then a little picture, a little still from the commercial every single time. So then next I told him that, okay, in addition, This is rad. Let's try to read this in a normal voice. Let's see how fucked up it sounds. In addition, and as to whence my fearful retort, the directors placed a tennis ball upon a 30-foot rod, and it is this which we were told to direct our gaze, as 30 feet is the height of the monster. The rod had once come a crashing down, thus far making a terrible noise, and never after I was unable to regain my composure. However, the director believed that my fear was the fear of the boy on the island who was attempting in earnest to seize the 30-foot monster. All the while, I did recite the litany against fear, as it appeared in the works of Frank Herbert in the Dune Saga. So, okay, then finally went on to say, like, hey, if you're a developer and you're reading this, you know, I'm always eager to do future work, you know, and then I've included a headshot, and it was just like this blasted image from the YouTube one turned to like 2000 by something, and then with like an MS Paint signature put on it saying Fenster Mayhew. And then I also told people in it that, like, oh yeah, it said, I don't mind ones making this into a desktop wallpaper, which can be enabled via right-click on Windows PCs. And then some people took screenshots of it as their desktop for their monitor.
That's awesome.
Asking to have it resized.
So how many people got it? Like, how many people got the joke?
At that point, maybe like two or three. And this was after we had a bunch. I did another one where we broke down the significance of all the boss names in Metal Gear 4 that's coming out. You know how they're always ridiculous? It's like, you know, Ravenous Raven or something. They might as well just be like Hungry Hippo or some stupid shit. It's like they're named after Otter Pops or something, you know. But so we took and tried to say how that was like, you know, let's just knowing nothing but their names, let's speculate on like how, you know, what their MO is and, you know, how right. they fight and who they're related to and all the shit, and broke it down. And
the thing is, it is so close to reality. I mean, these could have been real posts. It's like the first thing you said on this topic.
All of the mannerisms and stuff are sort of copies of things that we've seen in one way, shape, or form, you know, on internet boards.
Rolled up into one ideal poster.
Rolled up into one ideal poster. Hence the name.
Wow. So are you going to retire Ideal Poster now, or now that he's been outed?
No, it'll be fun to just we'll maybe do one more and see what happens, and see if people like are.
Well, people are
going to
be on the joke. You're
going
to get more people like playing along with you. Yeah,
and then that's even worse when they try to play along with it and it's so bad.
Yeah, hasn't that happened to a Ralphie online now a little bit?
Yeah, I people know that in a long time because if you're in a game and you're trying to do something, immediately everyone starts talking about GFW radio or trying to go along with it, but in a horrible, ridiculous way that makes it disastrous.
The price of fame.
It's dreadful now. So it's dreadful being famous. and let's clarify, I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
There's no fame involved. I put it before when the fame of being someone that writes about video games for a living is like orders of magnitude below that of like someone who writes comic books or something. And you don't see someone like, oh shit, that dude wrote a comic book. Dude,
right.
Can I talk to you? Wait, so why did you make Ryan's all quiet, getting mad? He's like, dude, I've approached so many comic book writers at fucking conventions.
How do you spot a comic book writer?
I don't know.
Well, haven't we all seen famous people, and have you been tempted to ever say anything to them?
I met Tony Hawk once.
Really?
I met Elvis Costello coming up out of the BART like last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you say anything to him?
I gave him a CD of my band.
Wow. We came back from E3 last year, Robert, and who was on our plane with us?
Was that the Jesse Jackson
flight? Jesse Jackson was on our plane, yeah.
Yeah, and there was somebody trying to like sell him some education system for like municipalities or something. Like he was the mayor of a town. It was really weird. I overheard a huge pitch that they were giving him for some computer thing.
But, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Flying Southwest, right? Or
yeah, it was Southwest. Yeah, that means there is no coach. It's all coach.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So, yeah. So former presidential candidates riding Southwest. There's an endorsement.
You know Willis, he was sitting behind MC Hammer on a flight down to L.A.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. I think that would be more interesting than or like Gary Coleman, going to bring him up in light of the cash call thing. Because he's supposed to be like, he's always pissed off and upset about something.
I saw Gary Coleman at E3.
He's always at E3.
I didn't, no, but you're right. He is always at E3, but it was in a more human setting because he was in line in front of me at the little, you know, cafeteria thing. And he was bitching about the cost of something.
That's going to get a cash call for
it. It kind of was, yeah. He was like, this sandwich is $4.50? I'll pay $4.50 for the sandwich. Like, man, you're Gary Coleman.
He came to E3 just to get free shit anyway, you know. Come on.
Child stars and sandwich shops, speaking of which, there's a remember the movie called Mac and Me? It was a fake-ass E.T.
Oh, that was that the McDonald's movie?
The McDonald's one, yeah.
Yeah, there's the kid in a wheelchair was the star. And my friend went to high school in Palm Desert, and that kid went to his school, and he went to the local sandwich shops. Like Port of Subs or something, you know, and he brought him in a picture, a framed picture of him with a signature on it. And he'd, they hung it up for him, and he'd always come in and just stare at it and like make sure see if people recognized him, sit underneath it and stuff, you know, like see if anyone Port of Subs.
That'd be me like walking around with a copy of GFW, like open all everywhere, like to my photo.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah. Weird. Oh. I went to when I was a boy. I went to temple to synagogue with the first drummer from the Partridge Family. You guys might all be too young for this, but at do you guys know the Partridge Family?
Even yes, but I'm I didn't about? Know they went through multiple drummers.
Oh, they had two drummers. They had the brunette Jewish looking drummer, which was the kid I knew. And then somewhere in like season two, they subbed him out for this Aryan blonde drummer.
maybe
it was they got some hate mail or something. Mm. What's with the Yid drummer you got there? I don't know what happened, but they subbed him out. But anyway, the point is that we would be sitting there in Hebrew school, and you know, whatever, trying to learn Hebrew. And this kid who was on the Partridge Family used to sit there and like be doing like drum rhythms, you know, on the table
drums.
And stuff. We know you're on the show, dude, for one. And two, you're not even playing the fucking drums on the show.
That's bad.
We know.
Every drummer I knew in high school, it's the whole, like, tradition of pantomiming shit so that someone asks you what you're doing. You know when you're, like, you want someone to, like, start the conversation, but you want it to be about you? And so, like, this one kid would sit there, and he played drums, and he would be, like, you know, pretending just tapping his feet out, like, his double set of bass drums, you know, on the ground, and, like, like, doing spins and catching, like, invisible sticks, reaching over to your desk like it's a hi-hat or some extra. Like, he's got this big cage, you know, and he's just, like, rocking everyone's thing. And then, like, the surfers, too, they'd go down the halls like acting like they're cutting back and shit, like
what,
on,
you mean,
on waves.
So that you would go acknowledge that they were a surfer.
Yeah,
oh,
like
hey,
walking
do you
down
surf?
The street.
Oh,
like,
you're so cool.
Yeah.
Pray for surfing, Kane.
Yeah, I was always just hoping someone would come up and be like, wow, do you play video games?
You go down the aisle like this.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's awesome.
That's what you know. I think I'm guilty of that, where like at least I brought Nintendo Power to school, elementary school, mm-hmm. showed someone code. You want to get to Minus World? I'm talking about like the newspaper one that first came out.
Oh, what was it called? The Fun Club or some shit?
The Nintendo Fun Club.
Yeah, Nintendo Fun Club, which was advertised within Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Remember there was one of the little corner talks that you'd get from...
Fun
Club today, Mac.
Yeah. What happened in the Nintendo Fun Club?
It became Nintendo Power.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean,
wasn't
the club
as you thought.
Fucking
yeah, yeah. I'm picturing sort of like an evil, like child molesting clown sort of thing.
Well, their spokesman at the time.
That's a different Nintendo.
that's Dragon Warrior Jokester. the devil thing.
Nintendo's spokesman at the time was kind of, I don't know. He was kind of the Peter Moore of his day, but he kind of had that. Hey, here's the president of the Nintendo Fun Club, kids. You know?
They're trotting out this like. Corporate
that's,
clown.
That's more like, Uncle Murf. You know, the, hey, kids! That shit.
God.
We went down some weird roads here.
I'll turn it back.
I don't know where we are.
Not much to say about Area 51 other than that, you know, it was...
You say that like we were always supposed to talk about
it. Well,
we
were going to come back to it. We were planning on this. This was part of our plan, Robert. You know we were going to talk about
Area
51?
Okay. I just don't know if the audience
roadmap.
Knew. Yes.
What was I saying about Area 51? Oh, okay. The interesting thing about it before, you know, when it was in the preview stages and stuff was that, okay, Harvey Smith is attached to it and he's, you know, associated with the Deus Ex 2 and stuff. And that it was going to take this political sort of angle and graft it onto its sci-fi story. So, you know, rather than just, hey, you're not just another space marine shooting this random shit, but there's going to be, you know, like Abu Ghraib is mentioned in here, or there are going to be some... You know, there's going to be political commentary, you know, on America's position in the world right now. And then you get this game, and
It's very much to me, like, I mean, most of the time when I'm playing it, I'm thinking like, hey, this would probably be more fun with the light gun, which isn't really ironic because Area 51 was originally a light gun franchise, right?
Right.
But it's like, now it's like, but now instead that game where there's like a bunch of mocap actors, you know, prancing around in busted ass Halloween costumes. Now, like, you take that more or less, right? And you give it this insane budget, but then you try to start talk about Abu Ghraib at the same time.
I think that sounds amazing.
Wow.
That
you're dealing with that.
Might be the ultimate game.
Sounds like performance art.
And I don't know. I mean, I have to read the rest of it. I know Clive Thompson at Wired, and I'm really interested in reading when he wrote, you know, put up a story today sort of about, you know, that from what I gather from the headline, he thinks it's a bold, you know, step in game narrative and stuff. And for me, you know, it's kind of awkward because whenever you take a very real problem with people and, you know, with politics and society, whatever the case may be, and you graft on these like supernatural explanations, mm-hmm. it kind of like just cheapens everything. It's like in, you know, Marvel Comics, we talked about the Ultimates before. In the second phase, they had the story arc where there's these shape-shifting aliens called the Skrull, and they come in, and it turns out that they were actually the Nazis, all the upper echelons of Nazi Germany. They were Skrulls. And for me, I was like, this is dumb. It's like, okay, we have to deal with the fact that people do these things, that these, you know, that these things happen, and the real interesting answers are in the whys and in the hows. But as soon as you bring in this, like, well, it was aliens, bro.
Yeah, but right. It's like, a comic book. This wasn't like a textbook.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're talking because,
I mean, hopefully there's not kids going, hey, they weren't really Nazis.
Right. But the thing is it to be, like, a really interesting – I mean, but look, I mean, if you're going to say, like, oh, this is a game that tells an interesting story that deals with, you know, American mm-hmm. politics and stuff at the time, and you're going to compare it to, like, a TV show. Like, even mm-hmm. like Battlestar Galactica, for example, does the same thing, and it is in a science fiction framework. But it's not like – whereas here, it's kind of like – It's more subtle. So the difference between, without spoiling, you know, the Battlestar Galactica thing, where I guess I can't even talk about it without, because that phase in Battlestar Galactica is basically all spoilerville. But they do something different. What they do in Area 51 is basically say, well, all the, you know, Guantanamo Bay and, you know, all the torturing and stuff is Americans. It's basically just, they want to make their own super soldiers. And they're going to do this by splicing alien spores and stuff into people, but they don't want to start testing on the good soldiers, so they're going to use bombs and pee whoever we just happen to have in our prisons and stuff and do it on them, you know? And it's like, it's kind of cool, but it doesn't really go anywhere. And the mm-hmm. problem is that this is only there in little bits and pieces in between the action of playing the game. Mm-hmm. Which like for the most part consists of being on rails and just shooting a turret at stuff and everyone, you know, exploding barrels everywhere, and every time there's a barrel, everyone's gonna take cover behind it. To the extent where it's so ridiculous that there's snipers in a section and they're up on some high ass bridge or something, you know, and normally a sniper, like, oh, they're gonna spend some time getting up there and they're gonna lay there and wait around and then they're gonna wait for the, you know, the patience of a sniper. But these dudes brought, like, explodable barrels on their backs on the hike.
You never
and then
know.
They set it down, and then they laid down. This is my blind. This is going to be my blind. I hope they don't shoot it, but they will never see me.
You never know.
I mean, not just, like, the, you know, whatever, because it's fun to blow shit up. That's fine. But the game, though, is so – it's kind of like a model for how shooters – how even like mediocre shooters were made 6 years ago or so, where every little thing is just completely, you know, here's another example. There's this tunnel and these guys are coming out of it and it's an infinite spawn and they're coming out by the pairs and you have a turret. And of course they start coming out of the turret in your line of fire once you touch the turret. And then when they do, you can just hold the gun there and just hold the fire button down. You don't have to move it because they'll just keep walking out into it and they keep doing it and doing it. So, you know, I have a screenshot I showed Ryan, and in this game, could be a PC bug or whatever, but when you kill someone, their gun just floats there in the air for you to pick up. And I had it look like the armory in the Matrix, you know, when they download, when they go into the blank world and there's just like every gun in existence for them to pick through to bring with them into the Matrix. It's looking like that. And the guys are still coming. It's like, okay, something's... And then that's when I noticed the guy is yelling at me like, go down there and put C4 in the pipe to stop them coming out. And meanwhile, these... Stop, The is not aliens or something where it's like, okay, there's just some...
kind of like Krusty Factory in there spitting out these aliens, but they're humans with guns, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they're in this tunnel and why they're coming out of the tunnel like this, but
they were looking for Call of Duty 4.
They got lost.
Oh, dude. And then so the guy's yelling, go put this to C4, and then you look and there's like, okay, sure enough, at the base of the bridge that they're coming out onto, there's a flashing thing. So you run down there and then you press the button. But in this game, you don't press the button on the glowing icon to do anything yourself, but to tell your squad. This is its notion of like, oh, you're in command of a squad, right? Mm-hmm. And you basically press the use button on these things. And then the same guy who is just yelling at you, you got to get down there and put C4. Then you get down there by his order and press the button and you go, hey, man, you got to get down here and put C4. And then the same dude comes down and he goes, get back on the turret. And then you go back on the turret and shoot more guys coming out. And he puts the C4 on it. It's just like, what is going on, you know? I mean, it's loaded with invisible walls. Like, you look at something and it's like, it's not even a matter of, they're just, you know, a lot of times developers will have to find ways to wall you in because they don't want you going, sure. There's only so much mm-hmm. of the map that's actually modeled. They don't want you going outside of it. But
yep.
It'll be a route to a place that is in the playing field, right where you're going. But it's like a rock that's like 3 inches high, but you can't jump over it, even though you've already been jumping over this and, you know, other things. And it's just so random and arbitrary.
Yeah.
And the other piece about this game, this is my favorite part, is that you're playing and you get the sense like, every time I turn around, there's an enemy behind me or something. Where the hell are these dudes coming from? So I start playing where like, I'd walk with my back to a wall and go up into a corner, so that, you know, I'm looking out from a corner. That way I have no blind spot. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they just start appearing in the world in front of you. They just, and it's, again, it's not part of the story. Like, they're teleporting in or anything.
They're not aliens.
Or even if they are aliens, they're supposed to be crawling. And instead of even, like, modeling, like, a hole in the wall that they crawl from or something, you just see them appear in this janky-ass way. Just start appearing and falling out and
they
coming at
pop
you.
Into existence.
Like, Gears of War had the emergence holes, at least. Right,
right. Yeah. They don't even have, like, there's no, you know, I showed Sean the specific part, and we're mm-hmm. like, hey, all they had to do is have them come from behind here, and mm-hmm. you're like, or just, like, put a little hole in the wall, have them come
through
there.
That looks like a hole.
That really sounds like something that they had to implement at the last minute when it was like, yeah, you're going to have to be done with that by Christmas. Yeah, you're not going to have time for emergence holes. Sorry, buddy. You know, I haven't played this game, but I actually wrote extensively about it beforehand and talked to Harvey Smith a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And isn't it so weird to hear me describing this now in light of these conversations you had
with
him?
It really seems like a situation, though, where you've got probably a team with good, talented people, but then they have this fucking ridiculous franchise thing that they got to make, you know, Area 51, as if that's a valuable name. Like, oh, we've got Area 51. We better make a game around that. Like, instead of just saying, hey, why don't you guys make a cool game that you want to make?
But people remember that. Like, I remember, man, I had two shots of whiskey and I played that.
Yeah.
Right down the street.
Well, then make a light gun shooter for Wii, you know? Like, why bother making, like, a next-gen, like, first-person shooter? That's just... Mm-hmm. It's weird, but yeah.
It is super mass market. Everything, it's clear that, like, you know, there's never any moment where you're even slightly confused as to what you're supposed to do.
So maybe for those folks, it'll be a cool game.
It might be, yeah. Maybe if that's the thing, if you're like, hey, you remember vaguely when you had half a bottle of tequila and you played this game at the bar, like, you can bring back some of those memories, right?
If you happen to find yourself in the video game aisle of Walmart, please select Area 51.
They touched the game for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one's just going to get buried. I mean, there's so much out right now. Why would they not wait a couple months?
And I was really into this idea of, even though it was alien invasion, at least trying to make a war game that had some real connection to the real world.
And those are the points where
that was here.
You're like, this is cool. Like, you're in the suburbs or something, and you're like, oh, I'm in a trailer park, or like, I'm like, again, I'm in some, you know, track home area. You're like, this is cool. But then instead of doing anything with it, it just becomes another maze, and there are mini guns in people's second store, you know, in garages, in the track homes and stuff. So it's the same if you're in a war zone in Iraq.
That's how it was in my neighborhood.
And there's turrets everywhere. There's just the same ones. And so, yeah, I mean that. But the environment, though, it is cool. You're like, this is at least different, you know.
Yeah,
I like that part.
Well, Sean's giving us a sad 5-minute sign.
The five-finger salute.
God damn it.
Oh, man.
I know. I
just got to say, I'll come back to it next week, but I really, it seems like it's been 2 months now that I've been saying this at the end of every podcast that I want to, maybe I'll have to come up with the Company Heroes podcast. You guys got
your own Company Heroes podcast?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah.
That'll give me another week to try to download it again, because I was trying to get it off Steam, but it just kept saying the...
I think it would be awesome if
servers were borked.
If the Company of Heroes podcast was just Sean by himself sitting in his room.
What do you guys think?
You know what's cool about...
It was cool. But yeah. I think you should – maybe this is an excuse. For next week, your homework will be all play it, or you can play a game with me or against me. You can all be against me. That's fine. I'll do 1v4.
I didn't realize it was on Steam.
That's some ballsy
– Both of them are on Steam.
Okay.
But I want to talk about it because at this point now, giving all the multiplayer games that I'm aware of are more or less out now with the exception of UT3, it's my multiplayer game of the year. And I've been playing it like a fiend. I mean, it bumped me off of Team Fortress. Like, I've been basically every night playing nothing but this game. A little bit of Tabula Rasa, you know, of course, mm-hmm. Area 51 stuff. But it's like, this is the game that I'm thinking about and want to play. And I'm getting, like, there's just a lot I want to say about, like, why specifically it is cool. Not just because, hey, it looks great and it's an RTS and Sean said so. But, you know, I'll have a chance to explain why.
Okay.
We do have a lot more games to talk about. We'll have to do that next time. I guess we're back next week already, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, we are. No,
we're back. I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a Viva Pinata for the PC to talk about. I'm playing that.
Oh, yeah,
daughter.
We didn't even get to that.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that next week.
If you're drunk and you happen to find yourself, I like that line. So I'm going to repeat it right now. If you happen to find yourself in the pinata store.
Are we done here?
Please,
is our work done?
We're done.
Wrap it up.
We got another one to do in 1 minute.
Yeah, we got another one coming up. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Fuck the legendary thread. We got to do it. We used to call it the Retronauts. They're my buddies now.
We used to
now.
Say fuck Retronauts.
Now it's Legendary
We can't say fuck
thread.
Legendary Thread. Three of us sitting right here are in it.
It doesn't matter.
Fuck Legendary Thread.
Okay. Fuck us.
Yeah. Me and Sean could totally take you guys.
Yeah. Fuck the Legendary
Thread.
Want to be on?
Want to stick around for Legendary Thread?
I'm hungry.
Okay. Well, we'll see you all in a week.
Ideal poster. Bye.